The following program contains mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Taking a relationship to the next level. This is Passion with Dr. Lori.
Welcome to Passion, a show about love, sex, and relationships. Tonight on the program, the Millennial Panel. It is the evening that three young individuals join us to talk about all things having to do with sex, love, and relationships. We get a whole new perspective on these topics. And we also go live on Facebook. So if you'd like to join us and interact with our guests in between segments, you can do that for sure. Just go to my page, Dr. Lori Betito, DrLauriBetito, and join us on Facebook as we are live. Thank you to Paris Mansouri, who's behind the camera as usual. In studio with me, three very special young people. Aisha Robinson, she is a model, speaker. She is the founder of Born to Rock. We have Nathan Kong, who is a Montreal designer, and we have Cinzia Abate, who is a singer and songwriter. We'll play you some of her music coming up as well. So welcome to the program, people.
Thank you.
So let's just go around the room to introduce you to our listening audience. Cinzia, tell us a little bit about what you do, how old you are, and what you do.
So I'm 23. I like long walks on the beach.
Okay, this is not an online a dating site show. We're not fixing you up, although I'm sure we'll get calls, but okay.
Oh, God. Basically, I'm 23 years old. My name's Cinzia. I'm a singer-songwriter, been doing it forever, but professionally just started a few months ago.
Oh, wow.
I've been working with bands and in the music industry, promoting and doing PR and stuff for bands, and one of my friends kind of picked it up and was like, let's do something with your music. So I was like, okay, let's go for it.
Wow, so now you're doing that professionally.
Exactly.
At the ripe old age of? 23 years old. Quite accomplished for such a young woman.
Why, thank you.
Nathan Kong, tell us a little bit about you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nathan Kong. I am the oldest of the panel tonight. I did not realize.
So old. Yes.
I did not realize I am millennial until 2 days ago. So thank you very much.
You're the last of the millennials,
that's
though, right?
I'm at the edge. So,
Like I'm the last of the baby boomers. So we go good together.
It's just a number. So again, my name is Nathan Kong. I am 33 years old. I have a startup. We make customized suit.
Wow.
We integrate technology by scanning the body of our customer in 5 seconds. We be able to get
5 seconds.
5 seconds. I'll get 450 measurement of our the measurement of our client, and we make something customized for you.
Wow.
On top of it, is it in a truck?
It's what?
It's in a truck. So the truck gets solar.
It's
powered.
In a truck.
That's right.
I didn't think I heard you right. It's in a
it's
truck.
It's in a truck. It looked
okay.
like food truck. I usually say it's a combination of Batmobile and a food truck.
Oh, my God.
So that's
so
what
cute.
We do. And okay. Additionally to this year, I'm flattered to be called designer because I'm actually graduated from microbiology.
Oh, really? Yep. You're a microbiologist as well?
I work in hospital and pharmaceuticals in my background.
Really?
And then...
And you just do this because it's your passion?
Passion is a big word. Okay. I would have to say that I would like to make a difference, in what I do.
Mm-hmm.
It hands-on, I see the results. So when our project this year, because I'm coming from a health background, I want the suit of our customer to be really special. So what we do, we translate artwork of local Montreal artists into
wow.
the lining inside the jacket. So my customer
nice.
Can talk about
that's
the low
nice.
Montreal.
That's amazing. You remind me of years back, I'm not sure if you even know this designer, but Nicole Miller is a designer that I loved that used to do all kinds of artwork inside the fabric, the lining that was the silk fabric had all kinds of artistry in it. So that's what it reminds me. That is really cool.
And one last thing. So there's a difference between artwork on a wall and on a postcard. What we do, we actually go out of our way to make sure that our artwork inside is certified.
Certified by the artist.
Yep. So to make sure that each piece they buy is a piece of art, is certified and make the customer realizes what they are, is the expression, and then they be with the help of the artist.
Nathan, that's an expensive suit.
We usually say we offer Ferrari at the price of Lexus. So.
Okay, okay. Not so bad. You get to wear the Ferrari on your back. So cool. We should hook him up with Carlo from Station 16 with all the local artists that he knows.
I think I know him very well.
Okay, well, there you go, with his silk screening business and everything else. So that's fabulous. Amazing. Aisha Robin. Oh, no. Did we do it? Yeah, Aisha. Let's go to you now.
What about me?
No, no. I thought I had said you first, but I said you first and only in the introduction. So tell us a little bit about you, because you have a very interesting and gripping story, really.
Yes. So I'm 27 years old. I'm a public speaker and the founder of a nonprofit organization titled Born to Rise, stemming from me living with a skin condition titled vitiligo.
Now, just so our listeners know, vitiligo is what Michael Jackson had
exactly.
as a skin condition, right?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So it's basically my autoimmune system telling my body that my pigment is producing bad skin cells, so it destroys it in certain areas. I was diagnosed at the age of 18.
Okay.
And for the first 5-6 years, I was in my depressive state, suicidal, and up until four years ago, that's when my life took a turn for the better, and I started my nonprofit organization, where people come out and share their stories of overcoming adversity in the hopes to help others.
That's amazing. And you go to schools, you talk to
kids.
I mean, I guess you were teased as a... you remember being teased later on, and you were telling me some pretty horrendous stories, actually.
Yeah, just by, like, the general population, people weren't the nicest. They'd make some rude remarks, and just meeting other people with vitiligo and hearing their stories as well, I just knew that somebody had to speak out and had to bring awareness to vitiligo, so the ones in elementary that are getting bullied in high school, that they know that, listen, I'm not a monster. There's nothing wrong with me. It's just the loss of pigmentation. So that's the reason why I like to go into schools and bring awareness.
Well, you're certainly beautiful inside and out. So,
thank you.
And bravo for sharing that. And it takes a lot of courage to do that, you know. And you talk about people making fun. And listen, when Michael Jackson, he in fact bleached his, he lasered to even out his skin from this condition, right? But remember all the bad comments people made about him.
You want to be white.
That's right. Yeah. It has nothing to do with being white. Just so happens that some of your skin is white.
Exactly.
And, you know, due to a disease, not because you choose to be that. So even people like him were getting bullied in a sense, right? Through the media and everything else. So. Well, what a fabulously interesting group of people tonight. So are we ready to talk about sex and some of your opinions on sex, love, and relationships? What do you think? You ready to go?
Yes?
You're like, yes, let's do it. Let's do it. So here's a topic that I wanted to bring up, which I was looking at recent research on this, and it answers the question, or it asks the question, is monogamy a realistic relationship ideal? And just thinking, how do millennials feel about monogamy? Obviously, it's a standard that most of us think is appropriate. Infidelity is condemned in, you know, most places, of course. People think it's acceptable to have multiple partners, but in a committed relationship, so serial monogamy, things like that. But studies have been looking at the numbers of infidelity. And the numbers that have come up recently is that 30 to 75% of men and 20 to 68% of women, in the Western world at least, have experienced some sort of infidelity. And the range is because they couldn't, you know, some infidelity was kissing somebody else, was pornography, was intercourse, was oral, whatever it was, all the different areas of sexuality. So I'm just trying to get a feel for your age group, for the conversations you guys have had with people about monogamy. Is this something that comes up? Chinsia, do you want to start?
Yeah, I definitely think it's something that comes up no matter what age group you're in. And I think, speaking as a millennial, and the way I think personally is a lot of no judgment, whatever floats your boat. If you feel like being monogamous, go for it. If you're into polygamy, go for it. Do whatever makes you happy. Personally, I'm very much for monogamy. I'm a kind of very territorial person when it comes to relationships. So I think it's something that definitely needs to be discussed these days, because everyone's so open and everyone's so curious, and you know, people are just more accepted these days. So
it's not a given anymore. It's definitely not a given. We'll hear more from our millennial panelists coming up about monogamy. Is it a realistic relationship ideal? You're listening to the Millennial Panel tonight on Passion.
She can help improve your love life in a few different ways. Passion with Dr. Lori.
You got this saying in your mind that I'll come running back for you. Close my eyes to all that's been done and forget. Sometimes I wish we can rewind. Remind me of the times when you were mine. But I don't know you anymore.
Wow. Wow. That is beautiful. Chinzia Abate, she joins us on our millennial panel. That's her voice. Her incredible angelic voice.
Thank you.
You are going to be a star. The first time heard on radio.
Heard it here first, folks.
Right? Yay! Heard it here first. Don't you forget the little people.
Never.
Remember, we're all here now. When we watch you rise, that star rise. That's incredibly beautiful. Congratulations. We have Chinzia Abate. By the way, you can pick up her music on SoundCloud, right? SoundCloud.com. They can get that? Can they get that song?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, they can.
So look for her, CINZIAABBATE. You can look her up on Facebook as well, on Twitter, on Instagram. We have Nathan Kong, who is a Montreal designer and a microbiologist, we found out, and Aisha Robinson, who is a model, a speaker, and the founder of Born to Rise, a nonprofit that reaches out to kids to talk about living in the face of adversity and physical challenges and all of that. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Always great to have you. And we're live on Facebook, so you can interact with us. You'll hear more about each individual person if you watch us on Facebook as they talk to you, and you can ask them whatever questions you have. Meantime, we were talking about monogamy. So this is a show about love, sex, relationships. So I like to get the millennial take on stuff, since I'm just an old gal and I like to hear the younger people's thinking. So is monogamy today a realistic relationship ideal? And I know, Chinzia, you were talking about in your friends and talking, and you're 23, so you've got, you know, people just say, well, whatever floats your boat, it's all good. Do what feels good. Do what feels right for you. Nobody's judging you. I'm not sure it's the same for everybody in the population, but that could certainly be something that we're looking at more now, or people have more of that thought than the expectation that we must be monogamous. And what you were saying I found interesting is that it's something you have to talk about, because there was a time when it was a given. You didn't have to talk about it. You got into a relationship, you expected monogamy. Still, you had 60% of people cheating, but you know, you still expected it. What do you think, Nathan?
I think I'm the first generation immigrant in Canada, coming from the culture where I'm Buddhist.
Okay.
So it's more of a way of thinking rather than anything else. And I can tell you from the scientific point of view, I think I remember reading a journal articles where they actually experimented with a rat, where there were couples and they notified at how many times in a week they consummate love.
Mm-hmm. I would say rats love, but okay.
And then they've noticed that the numbers are going down. And when they introduce a new partner,
okay,
into the cage, and they notice that their activity has gone up. So I can't say that it's natural.
Okay. So in your mind,
but minding the fact that we living in a society where we care about what people think of us. Ideally, I think it's very difficult. If you see pretty things, it's delicious cake walking around.
Okay.
it's difficult for you, for any one of us, to think, nope, no more. But
it's difficult, but doesn't mean it's not an option.
That's right. It is difficult. Right. It's a mindset, and people cheat. And it's, to me, I think it's ideal to think that mahogany would work. It would work in some people. Mm-hmm. Like Cynthia was mentioning.
Yeah, I agree. It would work in some people who make the choice for it to work and understand that it may not always be easy.
And I can tell you that everyone who cheats, I can tell that not because they want to cheat. It's never on purpose. That in the sense, like, I will plan tomorrow, this is going to happen because I'm going to meet some random people and it's going to happen. It's circumstance. Mm-hmm. It's situational.
Sometimes, often.
But it depends on the person when you have to react to the consequence that already happened.
Yeah, well, that's a different situation when you've got the consequences. Unfortunately, a lot of people who do cheat don't think of the consequences. So that's a whole other can of worms. What do you think, Aisha?
Well, first of all, I'm just going to put it out there that I myself have never been in a relationship.
Okay.
But speaking with friends and knowing the type of person I am, I'm very old school, and my parents been married for 25 plus years. Mm-hmm. So I envision my relationship being like theirs, completely monogamous.
Right.
Stick to one person. Then again, I feel with our generation, there are a lot of, well, would you consider, you know, how there are people that are married and then they have, quote unquote, their side girlfriend.
Mm.
So is that considered polygamous?
Not if the other person doesn't know about it.
If everybody else knows, if everyone else knows about it, then it's not polygamy,
but it's polyamory or an open relationship, right?
Exactly.
But as long as everybody's on board with that.
Exactly. And if that's the way how you like to do things, no judgment there, but it's just not my Buddha.
Okay. Yeah. So for you, you're much more traditional.
Yeah.
And I do believe that there is still, and I think there may be a movement towards sometimes more traditional ways, because the way you were talking about it, Cinzia, you know, oh, well, whatever goes, you know, it's all good. But at some point it can get confusing. And at some point you could lose yourself in all of that. And you start to realize, well, what is important to me? What do I want? Do I want to raise a family? How does that happen? In what context does that happen? What are the consequences? I mean, yes, monogamy is a social construct, but it's also a choice that we make that facilitates certain things, makes other things difficult, but certainly facilitates certain things. So we would love to hear from you as well. 514-800 to text in, or 514-790-0800. Is monogamy a realistic relationship ideal in this day and age, with the numbers of infidelity going up to 70% for men and close to 50% for women? So this is a reality in our day and age. So would love to hear some of your thoughts on that. Cinzia, first of all, somebody wrote in for you, wow, after they heard your music. Shivers, shivers. I will add it on my website. That's from Angelo. So we'll give you that website after to see what that's all about.
Thanks, Angelo.
Yeah, so that's really... very nice. So, all right, let's talk about a couple of other things. This is kind of fun. It's a little more sexual, but the 7 sex habits to ditch before you turn 30. We could talk about some that you ditched, some that you think might not, you know, work very well, or just your thoughts, even if you've never been there, you know, having friends there or what have you. So I really like these. So the first one is having risky sex. Not like, again, the use of condoms is an important topic, because if you look at the statistics, it's not so good. Like, it doesn't in even in the millennial age group, unfortunately. So give me some of your thoughts on that, on that one, the having risky sex. Forget the casual sex, but the riskier sex. I don't know if anybody has any thoughts on that. On what condom use? Is it a given?
Use a condom.
Use them. Okay. It's so important.
Yeah.
Has that been drilled into your head from whom and where? I want to know.
Well, I grew up in an Italian family, Italian household, Italian community, so it wasn't necessarily something that we spoke about.
Okay.
But when you would talk about it with friends, it's like, it's a given, you know, even if you're on the pill or if you're being careful or he pulls out, even though that's not proven to work.
No, no, please don't do that.
Exactly. It's just be safe. Like, that's not risky. It's just dumb. Like,
okay.
Be smart about things.
So this is, but where did that message come from? So if your family, in a traditional family, often sex is not talked about, so you don't really have the talk about using condoms and all of that. Who talked about it with you?
It was more older friends. You know, you have that one sex ed class in class and you're like, oh my God, a banana and a condom. But then talking and talking, and plus I had an older sister, so
okay.
I'd see a lot of her friends, and it's kind of just something that you see in movies, that you see on TV, Degrassi, Next Generation.
Did they use condoms a lot?
I don't think they did. I think one girl was pregnant.
Right.
And you're like, the problem is
on television and the media, they're not showing condom use as
exactly.
much. So
yeah.
You're not learning it from there. So you learned it from older siblings, friends.
I would say
all of
older
that.
Friends, yeah, siblings.
Right. Okay, so Nathan, at 33 years old, your group of friends, safe sex, important, not so important? You talk about it? What?
So I would say, coming from someone who was born in a generation where HIV infection was wild in the late 80s and early 90s, I can recognize the consequences. But on the contrary, I will look objectively, why do you use condoms?
You're such a scientist. I see the scientist in you just come out of, you know, seeping out.
So objectively, why do you use condom? So is it because you were told to? Or is it you try to do something? So I'm going to break it down.
Can we hold that thought, because I'm expecting a small little good lecture coming up that I don't want everybody to miss, and I don't want to cut you off because we do have to go to news. So we're going to get the biology now of why and the reason, the rationality behind the must of using condoms with Nathan, the designer, the creative guy in this group too, right? We're going to have some fun. Next here with our millennial panel on Passion.
The following program contains mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Whether you need to learn how to talk or something more hands-on, she can help. Passion with Dr. Lori.
The millennial panel tonight on the program, we have Aisha Robinson, Nathan Kong, Chinzia Abate. Chinzia is a singer-songwriter, Nathan, designer, Aisha, a model, speaker, and founder of Born to Rise, talking about sexuality. I got a couple of texts here at 514-800. Poly has been tried countless times throughout history, not sustainable, not in the long run. Well, you know, some people might argue with you because there are some polygamous societies or people that practice polyamory that say it works for them. Not sure about maybe the long run with kids and the more people you have, the more complicated it is. Relationships are complicated enough. You start adding more relationships, you get complicated. For sure. Dr. Lori, we've been married for 30 years and we have a great sex life. That is easy to not be tempted to cheat. I say happy man keeps him home.
Happy woman, too.
And happy woman keeps her home. That's right. Not just about that. So we were talking about having risky sex. The 7 habits to ditch before you turn 30. Having risky sex is a big one. And Nathan, you were about to share some of your scientific wisdom with us, even though you're the designer and one of the creative people on this panel.
I was asked to spice up the show.
Oh, you were? Okay.
So
with microbiology?
That's right. So I'm going to...
Doesn't sound too spicy to me. Sorry.
You just have to wait 5 seconds.
Okay, good. Go.
So what it meant by why people use condom, because I look at the outcome. If you don't use condom, what will happen?
Right.
So usually, first thing is pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is disease.
Mm-hmm.
Although
in this day and age, I'd say it's disease first, then pregnancy, because
right.
a lot of women are on birth control and they use condoms,
right.
or they should. Yeah.
So now, looking at disease, what kind of disease you're looking at? Now, the first thing on the list, people would say HIV. That's a medication to prevent that. It's 99% proven that it prevents HIV. Mm-hmm. So it's called PrEP. I'm not getting a commission
right.
from
no,
them.
No,
so.
We know. We've talked about it on this show because we do have, we do shows about these topics. So, yeah.
So and then now pregnancy, mm-hmm. there are multi different ways. You can be on the pill.
Right.
You have different technique.
Right.
So, and then now if you go back, why don't I want to use condom?
Yes, that's the one I want answered.
That's
why
right.
are people not?
Because it feels good.
To right? not use
to condoms. To not use condom, mm-hmm. both physically and mentally.
Why mentally?
People like risk.
Well, people, and, that's the problem right
and,
there, right?
And you know, sometimes you like to feel different. Sometimes you want to make, even if you want to stay in a routine, sometimes we want to be, I guess, spice up your life a little bit. Sometimes subconsciously, sometimes it's consciously.
Mm-hmm.
So...
At the risk of it's like Russian roulette for me.
That's right.
I feel like if you're looking to spice it up, it just means it's time to take it out of the bedroom.
Do something else.
Take
not
condom.
Take off the condom.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm in agreement with that.
There's a different ways, and people have different thoughts. You know, and people's are. Sometimes I know people who actually, one of my friends who, do not get off by using condom. So sometimes it's psychology block as well.
Yes, I would say it's more the psychology because studies have been done that said really there's not that much of a difference in sensation, and there are so many condoms out there today that are so thin, and there's all kinds of stuff. So absolutely.
But sometimes I would comment on that. The last thing is that a few seconds that let's say in the moment.
Well,
and then that split second where
yeah.
I have to do this that. 10 second kind of like, oh, fuck it. Oh, sorry.
can't swear.
I'm so sorry.
Also, yeah. All right.
I have to make sure that let go ahead. So that's
right. Right. All right. That just want to answer this person. There's an HIV drug to prevent it. Where can I get that? So it's called PrEP, actually. It's it what it does is it reduces the viral load so that it makes the transmission almost it kind of eliminates that. So I'm not sure exactly where you can get it, but you can get information on it. So it is called PrEP, and it is available here in Montreal in Canada now. So you can always check with AIDS Community Care Montreal, actually, and you'll get information if you go to their website. Aisha, any thoughts on, you know, getting rid of risky sex?
Well, here's another secret.
Okay.
I've never had a relationship and I'm still a virgin.
Okay.
But because of, I would say that I learned that using a condom is the safest way, the best way, the only mm-hmm. way to do it. Through commercials, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, one commercial in particular on the BET
mm-hmm.
Channel, they'd always have Wrap It Up commercials, like every second. Commercial was wrap it up. So that like
that stayed in your head.
Yeah, it embedded in my head, and yeah, and then I'm a type of person I fear everything, so I'm like I don't want to catch a disease. So when it's time,
I want to get pregnant.
Exactly.
Right.
So I know for sure
that's definitely something. So your own anxiety actually is going to force you to protect yourself. All right.
Yes.
Well, nonetheless, it is still something. I get risky. I get when you're young, you tend not to think through too much. So risky behavior is more likely. So this is why I think they added it as one of the things you should ditch by 30, because you should be more mature by then. And, you know, you should not play with your life in that way. Another one that I like here was trying to mimic a porn star in bed. That's another habit you should ditch. And I think it's something of this age, unfortunately, this age that we're in with access to a lot of porn that I don't know if you have ever felt the need or you've heard people talk about this, you know, that there's a way to perform, there's a way to do things, that they get from watching pornography. So I don't know if that's something that has ever come up in your discussions, but another one is also being insecure about your body. Something to ditch by the time you're 30. Then there's faking your orgasms. So that's an interesting one, because what does faking an orgasm imply? You're not being authentic, right? If you keep lying about something like this, you're not learning anything and your partner is not learning anything.
Right.
So I don't know if that's something. This one's cute. 7 Habits to Ditch Before You Turn 30. Naming Your Genitals. Nathan, does yours have a name?
No.
Because you're 33 now. When did you ditch the name? 6 was having sex when you really, when you don't really want to. And so being able to set boundaries. To me, that's about boundaries. And as you get older, you learn to set your boundaries. And not taking control, taking ownership of your sex life. And that's something that, you know, we, some young people may have a hard time doing, is taking ownership of their sex life and being able to. And it's, it goes with setting boundaries as well. Any thoughts on any of those things? Any other habits you would want to ditch by the time you're 30? Things that you, you know, realize, ooh, I need to grow up because of this.
I'm just taking all these mental notes.
Yeah, you're I see that.
Learning all this stuff.
You know, maybe you got to start listening to Passion more. Yeah. You will learn a lot in complete preparation for when, you know, you go out into the dating world. Are you by choice a single? Is this a choice?
No.
No?
Single and looking.
Okay. Let's post you up there. Look at her on Facebook. She's here. Beautiful woman. Are you single?
I am.
Hey, we could maybe do a little dating show right here. We can make that happen, I'm sure. Watch us on Facebook and there you go. You can always connect with these. Are you single, Nathan?
Complicated.
All right. We won't go there then. Forget Nathan. He's too complicated. More with the millennial panel coming up here on Passion.
This is Passion with Dr. Lori.
The millennial panel tonight on the program, Aisha Robinson, model, speaker, founder of Born to Rise, Nathan Kong, who is a fashion designer of men's fashion suits, does custom suits with all kinds of artwork and stuff like that. We have Chinzia Abate, who is a singer and songwriter, all under the age of 33. Nathan's the oldest. Nathan is at the last of the millennials. I am the last of the baby boomers, 1964. You were born in what year?
83.
83, the year I think I graduated university or CJEP or I don't know what. So, yeah, so there's quite an age discrepancy between us, but that's all good because this is why we do the millennial panel. So we get a complete age range of... you know, of opinions. So I'm going to ask you a question. We've asked our question on Facebook Live to our Facebook listeners, but the millennial panel has not heard it yet. How do you feel about sex on the first date?
Yes. Kidding, yeah. kidding.
This from the virgin.
Oh my God. Okay. It's my favorite Aisha. Moment. Yes.
You just want the date. She's like, just give me the date, okay? Remember, mom and dad are listening.
I know.
Listening.
Sorry, okay. Dad. I'm joking. It's a joke. Don't worry.
So what are your thoughts?
I think I'm going to agree with Amanda on Facebook. I think it depends. Personally, I never have on a first date. Because you're getting to know the person. You're getting to feel the person. And you want that, not literally feeling the person, but getting their vibes, their how they feel about certain things. So it's kind of going with the energy of the night and everything. And I feel like if you're dating someone and you want to get serious with someone, it isn't something that necessarily happens on the first date,
right.
But it definitely could. Like, you
right.
never know
so
what
it's
could
not,
happen.
So it's not a rule for you. You know, some people have rules, like no sex before the third date, no sex before a week or a month, no sex, you know, like they have their own rules. So for you, it's not a rule. It's just something that you wait and see.
Yeah. I think if I were to answer off the bat, it would be like, well, no, because I don't know the person. I want to get to know them first if I want to be serious with them and everything. But yeah, I think it definitely depends. It depends.
Okay. Nathan, Mr. It's Complicated.
What? Again.
Is this complicated too?
It's kind of easy.
Okay. It's easy? Why is it easy?
Coming from, I guess, the two panelists. So coming from a guy perspective. So yeah. I try to avoid any drama possible.
Okay.
There's no rule. If, you know, sometimes, then again, ask different question. Why don't you want to have sex on the first date?
Okay, so, for you, you don't generally want to have sex on the first
date. No. Like, if it happened, it happened.
Oh, you're happy if it happens. Like, okay.
But again,
you'll take it, is what you're saying.
That's right. Okay. I'll go for it if it happens.
Okay, you'll go for it. Okay, right. You're not putting any stops on that one. Okay. What's your scientific explanation for this one?
Hormones.
Just thinking. So you let the hormones take over. Okay, but if you suspect that there would be drama, that would be you would stop it?
No, sex is something that, you know, consents of both parties, right?
Yes, of course.
So, but on my side, if it does happen, it does happen. So if it doesn't happen, if the person, you know, right, did like to take the time, I respect
that. That's okay too, right? Yep. But if it was your choice, would it happen?
Depend on the chemistry, depend on what it looked like.
Well, yes, of course there has to be something. It's not like every single person you go out on a first date with, you're going to have sex with.
That's right.
There has to be something that draws you together.
That's right.
It's a question of, you know, let's say interest and attraction is a given.
Right.
If that's a given, you go yes.
I would say statistically, yes.
Yes.
It's significant.
Here we go, the scientist again. Significantly speaking, statistically speaking, yes.
So I have a question.
Yes.
What does that mean for one night stands?
I guess that's not really a date, right? That would be something that you choose. Or do you expect, like when people have one night stands, they go in it saying this is just a one night stand? Or do they expect to date them and then it turns into a one night stand because the person never calls you again?
True.
That's interesting, right? It could go either way. So to me, a one night stand is when you choose it to be a one night stand. Mm-hmm. Let's just hook up for fun. You, me, we decide, we make the choice. I'm not necessarily going to see you again. And that's it.
Okay.
So I think that's a bit different than somebody you're actually... Definitely. Dating and hope to date again, right? It's not like, I don't think a one night stand you necessarily hope to date again, or is it even a date? It's too many, you know what's complicated now? Too many friggin' definitions and words, and I hear this just from my patients too. Like, I don't know. When do I say, what are we? Are we just dating? Am I your boyfriend, girlfriend? Are we hooking up? Are we, like, there's too many categories. Yeah. What is it? It used to be so simple. And like, can I just run that by you just for my own curiosity? Like, what are the categories of partnership?
I think it just isn't simple anymore. People are exploring. People are more open-minded. So I think in the past, people were always afraid of being judged. Let's say like, oh, I'm not going to go on a one-night stand because then people are going to talk about me, especially from a female perspective. You get called certain words like slut, or, you know, you get bashed a little bit. Guys would be the opposite too. But I think it's just complicated now. And, you know, everyone's just exploring and having fun with everything. And it's harder to identify things. And then...
Yes, it's hard to identify things. And there's
so
no word. But it's also like, I was talking to someone and I was referring about that person to someone else and say, oh, yes, she's dating this guy. And she said to me, no, we're just casually seeing each other. Well, what's the difference? Like, explain to me the difference between casually seeing somebody, dating somebody. When is it more serious? What do you say when it's more serious than dating? What's the word? Hello? Help?
Husband.
What?
Husband.
I know. Oh, you go from dating casually to will you marry me?
I think the word they're looking for is exclusive.
So that's what you look for. So do you have the conversation? Is this a conversation you end up having? Are we exclusive? And when do you have that conversation?
I think it come up oftentimes. For me,
at the beginning, like when does that come up?
Usually a few weeks or a few months.
Okay.
It depends on circumstance, how you met. If you intentionally you met on a proper date,
okay,
it usually come quite early. But if you meet in a bar,
okay,
it usually come down the road. So it is sometime in one night stand. Sometime it is intentional in terms of I want this to be before
just
we actually meet
stand.
The person,
right?
But sometimes it's the contrary. You want it to be a one-night stand, but it enough to be longer.
A relationship. So that can happen too.
So again, don't put a rule, and then follow your heart. Sound as cliche as may sound, you know, things happen. The less drama, the better. So,
just sounds complicated.
That's why I'm probably still single.
Yeah, there you go. You can't figure out the, you know. It's like, who wants to marry Aisha? Let's just go straight to marriage. We could find you a husband tonight. Okay, that's all. None of these. No more games. Like
no more games.
All these games. You know, it just it can drive people nuts.
Just be upfront.
That would be nice. That would be nice. If you were asking yourself the question, ask it out loud. Ask your partner. Oh, my goodness. Guys, the time has flown by. Thank you so much for being here. Just give us each your handle. Cinzia, your handle?
So it's Cinzia_music or just Cinzia on Facebook, Cinzia.
Wonderful. Nathan?
Actually, I do not know. I usually go say...
Oh, no. Nathan Kong. How's that?
Clearly, I am at the edge of millennial. So look me up on LinkedIn.
Yeah, LinkedIn, Instagram, Nathan Kong with Nathon Kong, like in King Kong. And Aisha Robinson, go to @borntorise.mtl. MTL.
Or at stillish, STILLEESH on Instagram.
Great. Thank you guys so much. Thanks to Paris Mansouri for handling our Facebook Live stuff. Thank you to Dave Simon in Master Control. And if you need to find me, drlaurie.com, drlaurie.com. We'll talk again, actually not tomorrow night, but I will be back on a Friday evening, although you'll get a rerun tomorrow night, a best of Passion. But right now, stay tuned for The Comedy Show with Joey Elias. Have a great rest of the evening, and remember to fill your life with passion.